This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Al-Qusha.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ba'd. It's an honor and a privilege, alhamdulillah, that we can gather together. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the time that we spend together, although we are distant physically apart, a time of mutual understanding, rahmah and love and commitment between each other. Allahumma ameen. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not separate our gathering, except that we are separated with His forgiveness and that His light has entered into our homes, into our hearts, into our communities. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us better for having come together rather than having stayed apart. Allahumma ameen. We were speaking about the importance of considering the time that passes by. Subhanallah, we've had some wonderful questions and contributions about a wide-ranging number of topics, and I hope, inshallah, that the questions keep rolling in. So feel free to call, and it takes a little bit of time to make it through the queue, but I look forward to speaking with you and taking your calls and seeing where we can help, inshallah. Time, of course, is very important, and the year 1442, subhanallah, is coming to a close. And we are heading towards the new Islamic calendar, new year. And the month of Muharram, of course, is a very important month for us as Muslims. It is a month of reflection, a month of deliberation, and a month of change. It is the month where the Prophet ﷺ not just changed from Mecca to Medina, but changed even in the type of revelation that would be revealed to the Prophet ﷺ. Its sound became different, the type of verses that were revealed, they were no longer short, they were no longer had that Meccan rhythm to them, and even the topics became one of legislation and obligation and fulfillment to the orders of Allah, not just a strengthening of faith and acquaintance with our Creator and Maker. So this is meant to be a time of change, of renewal, a time of self-reflection and introspection. One of the beautiful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you allow me to narrate to you, that always touched my heart. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting with his companions one day and he said, "Innal iman, surely your faith, my faith, the faith that you and I as Muslims we adhere to." The Prophet says, "The faith you have, la yabla fi jawfi ahadikum kama yabla thawb. It begins to become worn out, faded, tarnished, the way your clothing from overuse will become worn out, faded, and tarnished. فَسَلُوا اللَّهَ أَن يُجَدِّدَ الْإِيمَانَ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ." So make dua to Allah. Invoke the Almighty Allah that He may reignite, restart, renew, rejuvenate faith in your hearts once again. Subhanallah, that always struck me as a beautiful hadith, that the Prophet ﷺ would instruct the giants of our faith, the elite of Islam and Iman, the great Sahaba, to constantly be on the lookout of renewing one's faith. And that faith was not just simply by actions, but it was also by determined dua, asking Allah for hidayah. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. We have a caller on the line. Assalamu alaikum, caller. How can I help? Yes, my brother.
I have a business, K-Chef, and I was contemplating what percentage of my profits I should give to charity, and whether or not there was any guidance in the Quran and Sunnah regarding it. And I came across a hadith, which was reported by Abu Hurairah, which talks about, a voice being heard from the cloud, and it told one third of it. The individual, he gave one third of it charity, one third of it to back into the business, and a third of it he kept for himself. And I was thinking, is that the optimum way of giving charity?
All right. So, obviously I can't give you business advice over the air without kind of as a consultant in the matter without the details of it. But what I can say to you, in the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, there were three important rules as it relates to how we give charity. The first rule is that family was always first. So we find this in the hadith of Abu Talha. He was a landowner at the Prophet ﷺ's time, radiallahu anhu, and he owned two large estates, two large farms. And the verse in the Quran in Surah Al-Ali Imran was revealed where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You will not attain the elevated status of righteousness until you are charitable and you can spend freely from the things you love the most. And he said, of the things that I love the most is this property that I have, this orchard. O Messenger of Allah, I give it in charity. And the Prophet refused it. Prophet ﷺ said, no, you cannot give from your estate as such and leave behind a family who will be in need of asking others. He said, O Messenger of Allah, I want to receive the reward of this. So the Prophet ordered him to give his charity, most of it unto his family, unto his wife, his children, his brothers, sisters, and so on. And therefore, that's a very important concept that at times we kind of forget. The Prophet ﷺ says, أَبْرَكُ الصَّدَقَ إِنْفَاقُ الْمَرْءِ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ. The charity that reaps the greatest barakah is where a person has spent upon their ahl, their family, meaning that you've secured them and provided the means with you and after you and in your absence to be also self-sufficient. So have that as a concept as it relates to charity. I don't want you to assume charity just as, you know, making a water well or building a masjid on its own as being legitimate acts of charity. The second thing that's important is that anybody who tells you percentages and figures and is being absolute about it is doing you a disservice. So what I would say to you is go through a SWOT analysis, a good business analysis, see where the strengths are, where the weaknesses are. Certainly the guidance of reinvesting into your business, reinvesting into your financial, into your financial security, into the future, is also an investment into yourself and is a sadaqah that you are giving unto yourself. And don't forget your share of the akhirah. Now, that's something that was always intentionally left up to one's discretion. And one of the ways we separate between zakah and sadaqah is zakah is defined, it's finite, it's known how much, to whom, how often, and of what types, and of what things we pay zakat on, while sadaqah was intentionally left to the direction of the individual. So there were some sahaba who gave everything, like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Umar, half of it. And there were others who were affluent who gave regularly. There were those who supported the weak. There were those who supported the war effort. There were different levels of contribution. But the concept of how much was always left at the discretion of the individual. And the hadith that you shared is a powerful hadith. It's a noted hadith. There are some comments about its chain of narration, but it is something that can be used as a guidance. Now, certainly it would not be a black and white statement from the Prophet ﷺ for you to build financial decisions on moving forward. It would not be. As I said, it's meant to be at a person's discretion that you're not held to. The third thing that I would say about charity is to do it both publicly and privately. يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ سِرًّا وَعَلَانِيَةً, both in private as well as in public. And sadly, at times we find that a lot of people assume, you know, it's better to give it in private. Sometimes giving it in public is something that encourages others to do it. And the Prophet ﷺ says, the one who gives and others follow them in their pattern, they receive the reward of what they gave and the reward of everyone who followed them thereafter that was inspired by them. So I encourage you, inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for thinking of the needs of others. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put barakah in your business, expand it, and make it a source of khayr, not just for you, but for those who work with you and for you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a venture that is producing that which is halal and that which is integrating goodness into your thriving community where you reside. Allahumma ameen. So that's a really important kind of question. I thank the brother for it. Once again, we come back to our theme about time and the coming of the month of Muharram and of change. And of course, when we speak about change, most people kind of assume that we're speaking about something wrong, that I need to put something better in its place. And I want you to know that the era of the Prophet in Medina was not a bad place. There were difficult times in it, but there were also major successes. That's where Umar accepted Islam and Hamza accepted Islam and Ali distinguished himself. This is where the Sahaba learned about Allah and fought and sacrificed with patience. They made their jihad of struggling for the truth by teaching and practicing the Quran in the darkness of the night, because they were forbidden to assemble in the brightness of the day. And as well, as much as there is sweet, there is always going to be the bitter. So I want you to know, when we're speaking about making change, it's not that there's something wrong that I have to change it. Sometimes there's something right that we just need to appreciate it and maybe do more of it or share it with others who are not upon it with us. And the Prophet ﷺ, his hijrah to Al-Madinah was not out of frustration and was not out of giving up in his call of the people of Quraysh to come to Tawheed, to come to faith, and to come to the solution provided by God Almighty for all of humanity from that day forward. What it was that it was a transition from where one is in a good place to where one can have a strategically better environment and advantage. The Prophet frames it in a really powerful way. Hijrah is finished for us today. There's no hijrah that a person can say, I'm going to catch up to the Prophet in Medina, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was asked, who is the muhajir? What is the characteristic of the one who makes hijrah? So the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, al-muhajir man hajara ma nahahu Allahu anhu. The muhajir is the one who abandons, flees from, travels away from that which Allah has prohibited for them, that they found themselves liable to falling into. And therefore, each and every one of us is able to make hijrah as if we are heading towards the Prophet ﷺ today. You head towards his sunnah from being away from it. You head towards his teaching from being unaware of it. You head towards the Quran by reciting it, contemplating it, meditating upon its meaning, inculcating it within yourself and your home and your family, spreading it through your virtuous practice of its teaching in your community, that people not see you as simply a plumber, but that's the Muslim plumber who's honest. They don't see you as a doctor, but that's the Muslim doctor. That's Dr. Ahmed. He's that person who represents the ideals of the Prophet in whatever practice, whether they're a street sweeper or a rocket scientist. That which is always in between is the path and the tradition of the Prophet ﷺ. And that's genuine hijrah. Those who made hijrah, there were those who made hijrah that the Prophet ﷺ condemned. He said in the famous hadith that all of us are aware about the importance of sincerity, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. Your actions are judged correct or not, depending on your intentions. فَمَنْ هَاجَرَ. The one who made this hijrah, who left their home, left their town for, you know, a financial gain, or لِدُنْيَا يُصِيبُهَا أَوْ إِمْرَأَةٍ يَنْكِحُهَا, or because they wanted to get married, or, you know, I'm going to go from this place to that, I can't find anyone right for me here, I'm going to go over there, or for a worldly gain, فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى مَا هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِ. Then their hijrah will attain that which they intended, that which was, you know, inside their heart, and that which they were planning for. وَمَنْ هَاجَرَ. But the one who makes their hijrah to Allah and his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فهجرته إلى ما إلى الله ورسوله, فهجرته إلى ما فهجرته إلى الله ورسوله. Then their hijrah is known to Allah and his messenger. And this is about a really famous incident. And Allah reveals verses in the Quran in Surah An-Nisa regarding it. There was an elderly man, a person who believed in the Prophet in Quraysh, but he wasn't able to let it be known. He had his elder sons who were dominating him, keeping track of him. They could see that there was a leaning towards the Prophet ﷺ. So he aslama fi nafsihi. He hid his Islam in his heart. Didn't let anyone know about it. And there's no objection to that. So he carried on life as normal, but inside he was a believer in the message of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And after the Prophet made Hijrah to Medina, this man could take it no longer. He said, I need to go to the Prophet. I miss the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even if I die on the way on my own, I'm going. So he began to slowly prepare a camel, prepare food, secretly without his family knowing. And in the middle of the night, unexpectedly, he disappeared. And he headed towards the Medina of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And about halfway through his journey, he began to feel that his ajal, his life was soon to come to an end. His body is not going to maintain the journey, is not going to get him to where he needs to go. He is not going to arrive to Al-Madinah. And in the middle of the desert, he put his hands together and he gave bay'ah, you know, he shook his own hand and he said, Allahumma hadihi bay'ati li rasulik. Oh Allah, this is my pledge of allegiance of accepting faith publicly to your messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahumma ablighhu minni salam. Oh Allah, convey to your messenger my greetings and my prayers. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thumma mat, and then he passed away. And the Prophet in Medina, Allah reveals to him, وَمَنْ يَخْرُجْ مُهَاجِرًا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ يُدْرِكُهُ الْمَوْتِ. The one who exits their home, seeking to arrive and fulfill what is ordered by Allah and His Messenger, and death arrives to them before they arrive to you in Al-Madinah, Ya Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, فَقَدْ وَقَعَ أَمْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Then their affair is entirely made worthy because of Allah's love and acknowledgement for them. We don't actually know the name of the Sahabi. His name is known to Allah. It's recorded in the heavens. His sincerity brought down Quran that remains recited in our hearts and upon our tongues and in our masajid to remind us of hijrah towards that which is good, not just in a physical sense, but even if you are not in the presence of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our hijrah is performed in seeking nearness to his tradition, to his sunnah, to his modality of life, to his habits, to his behaviors, to that good that he called us to, and to be distant, وَنَهْجُرْ, push back against all that he prohibited upon us as is commanded of him by Allah Almighty subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what's the battle plan for the coming 1443? I want you to sit with yourself, sit with your family, sit with your spouse, sit with your children and begin thinking, what are the things that we need to accomplish? And I want you to kind of reflect on the year that has gone by. What are the successes and what are the failures? What are the heights and what are the drops that you've had? What are the things you could have done better in and where can you improve? And what are the successes you've attained and how can you capitalize them, repeat them, and maybe share them with others so that they may have the successes that you've attained? Where do you go forward in life? Where do you prepare for next year? It's here and now. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam always taught us to be reflective and to commit to a lifestyle of muhasaba, of self-account. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu is famously quoted to have said, he stood upon the pulpit of the Prophet ﷺ on Friday and he was giving a khutbah, and his khutbah to Jum'ah was so powerful we still remember it. He said, Hasibu anfusakum qabla an tuhasab. Take account of yourself before Allah will take account of you, before your account with Allah is brought forward. Wazinuha qabla an tuzanu. And weigh out your deeds before Allah will weigh them out for you. وَتَهَيَّأُ لِلْعَرْضِ الْأَكْبَرِ. And prepare yourself for that major day, for the significant day where you will be brought on display in front of Allah. يَوْمَ لَا تُبْلَى السَّرَائِرِ. When no secrets will remain hidden or be made absent, that everything will be brought forward before Allah. Allah tells us in the Quran that the people will be astonished on the Day of Judgment, as we read in Surah Al-Kahf, and they will say, مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ. What is this book? لا يغادر صغيرة ولا كبيرة إلا أحصاها. It's left no action, no deed, no movement of heart or thought, except that it's recorded it. وَوَجَدُوا مَا عَمِلُوا حَاضِرًا. And they will find everything that they have brought forward in life presented to them. كَفَى بِنَفْسِكَ الْيَوْمَ عَلَيْكَ حَسِيبًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, on the day of judgment, you, only you, will suffice and be enough as a witness over yourself. Allah says in Surah Yasin, الْيَوْمَ نَخْتِمُ عَلَىٰ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ. On this day, we will seal their mouth. وَتُكَلِّمُنَا أَيْدِيهِمْ وَتَشْهَدُ أَرْجُلُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Their arms and hands will lay bare what they were ordered to perform, and their legs will bear testimony as to all that they earn in their life. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from the suddenness of the change of our affairs with Allah, that Allah protects us from His wrath and anger descending upon us, and that Allah allows us an opportunity to seek His forgiveness and to make us from those who are asking Him in the night and in the days for His forgiveness. Allahumma ameen. As we conclude our session today, inshallah, in the last couple of minutes that we have together, I wanted, inshallah, to let you know that there is a battle plan that you can use that will cause you to be successful. The Prophet ﷺ taught us the way forward to continue to succeed year after year. He said to us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the most beautiful ways, that of the ways that we find success is that we commit to an inward look, that we seek to purify that which is within us so that it influences those who we live amongst. And there is no good in that which is apparent, in the actions we perform, if on the inside we don't have a cleanliness and a purity and a presentness of heart and intention. So I say to you, my dear brother, my dear sister, my plan this year, inshallah, for myself and my family, is to begin focusing on the small things that we've overlooked. You know, perfecting the little things that actually purify our relationship with Allah. My goal, inshallah, is to try for each and every prayer, 5 times a day, to make the adhkar at the end of it.
1 minute.
Subhanallah, 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 33 times. Alhamdulillah, 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 33 times. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. 33 times, and to conclude it with La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulk wa lahul hamd, wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. That gives the reward of a mansion built in Jannah. That gives the reward of a strengthened body that would not be there had you not made that dhikr, as is taught to his daughter Fatima radiallahu anha. It's the little things that will give you the greatest gain. May Allah give us a blessed, blessed coming year. Allahumma ameen. Your brother Yahya Ibrahim. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ati'u Allah.
Allahumma taqabbal.